Well, we're really glad to be here this morning. Our absolute delight to be here. Some people were commenting on my pants who wanted to take an offering for the holes in them. But if you're going to take an offering for any holes, there's a hole up here that needs to be filled. That'd be much more helpful. Shanda and I were here from 2002 through 2010 with our daughters Alexandra, Annika, and Elena. I think Annika is in the back there, and Alexandra is in Surrey, and Elena is ministering with one of our worship teams in Campbell River. So we're kind of all over this morning, and God's been doing amazing things. Just as Matt said, about September of last year, we became the lead pastors at Bible Fellowship, and we're doing well. God is good. And he is always good in every situation. And as, you know, our years here serving with Pastor Scott and Naomi are some of the best days of our lives. And we'll continue to look back with fondness. And also at the same time, we had the opportunity to connect with Evan and Kendall in our Foursquare convention in May, I think it was. We had breakfast with them. And what a delight they are. Like, just an absolute great couple. He was getting all the dirt on you guys, so I'm just teasing. They just have such a heart for this church, and it's just the absolute blessing of God that he's led a shepherd to you and a family that's going to help you go into all that God has for your future. The best days are in front of this church. That's the way it is. You know, and as the Bible says, the goodness of God, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That means that there is not a day that goes by that God's goodness is chasing me down. So I'm going to try and preach. I was given an end time, but Matt stole most of my time. So if I go over time, you can talk to Matt. And besides, I'm the visiting preacher, and you get me once, and then maybe I'll never come back. I don't know. We'll see. But we are excited. I'm going to pray. Not because I don't want to come back, but if I go over time, you know, I think 25 minutes ain't going to happen. So I'm going to do my best and just going to pray right now and ask God to give us all ears to hear, and that God will help me to preach what he's put on my heart to preach this morning. Father, thank you for your absolute goodness, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this house, Lord. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness, Lord Jesus, that leads us. And Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us as individuals, Lord, and for this house. Lord, that you give us ears to hear. And Lord, thank you for the anointing of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the things that we've been doing a little bit is traveling. We get the opportunity to travel to different places in the world. And I don't know if you've traveled by airplane recently, but they charge you $20 to $25 for a bag at that minimum. And so for our family, that's a challenge. I have three daughters and a wife. That's a challenge. And so when I go to travel, I try to get as much as I can, and everybody else does on the plane, as much stuff as they can possibly do into that carry-on bag. And some people go onto the airplane with something. They are not following the regulations. They come in with something and you have to kind of go around it like this to get by as they stuff it up and take all my space on that top rack. And they go to open it and you're afraid that there might be a small hippo in there because of how large it is. And they stuff it in there and the baggage is pushed into it and everywhere. And you're ducking and dodging and weaving because of their overstuffed bag. They have too much baggage. They try to get by with it. And I'm always praying that God will get them, that they will have to pay the $25, check that sucker and get some money. I know you guys are far more kind than that, but baggage is an incredible thing. My first time camping with my family, my children were young. And if you've had young children, you know, if you're going anywhere, you have to pack like you are going on an Everest expedition. You need to have Sherpas that are going to carry things. But I remember we're packing our car up and everything. And I thought, oh, it's all good. And then my wife came out with the bags. Where are we going? I said, is Jesus coming back and you're packing for the trip? What is going on right here? And I don't think you need those heels, Shanda. She's always ready. Baggage is an incredible thing. When you have the right amount, it's no problem. When you have too much, it becomes a problem, makes it difficult. When we were serving here, we had a school of discipleship master's commission, and we used to take trips often all over the place. And I asked them to please carry one bag that you can carry on, whether that's on a plane or a bus, and the other one you should be able, just one bag, please. For some of the young ladies, one in particular, short little Scottish girl, if you know who she is, I'm going to leave her nameless. If you don't, then I'm not guilty. And she came with one bag that it took two young men to pack. There was stuff in their clothes for every possible situation, makeup and shoes and all kinds of stuff that made it. And I said, come on. I said, how are we going to do that? It's almost as you're taking up half the trailer. And not only that, you can't pack it yourself. In fact, when you carry it, you'll be whining that other people aren't helping you to carry it, won't you? No, I won't, Pastor. I won't. And it was just so much. Everybody, we're dragging it around, and I made her go back and take that thing and get it a little bit more manageable. Because when you're carrying baggage, it's bad enough. But when it's more than you can handle, it begins to affect the way that you walk. It begins to affect the way that you, the speed that you go on. It affects whether you're going to take a long trip or a short trip based on how well you can handle the baggage that you have. And in life, it's one thing to carry a physical bag, but many of us carry baggage throughout of our life from the situations of life, the things that we've walked through, the things that we've gone through. You know, I was an expert from a very young boy of carrying a baggage of rejection around. I could carry that thing around. It went with me everywhere I went. Lack of confidence, low self-esteem, a bag of negativity, a bag of fear of the future, of what might be in front of me and all that. I was an expert at carrying these bags. They went with me everywhere. But I doubt that I'm alone in my experience, or that my experience is unique. In his book, Traveling Like Max Lucado writes this, odds are you have luggage in your hands right now. Somewhere between your first step out of bed this morning and your last step out the door, you picked up some overstuffed bags. You stepped over the baggage up to the baggage carousel and loaded up. Don't remember doing so? That's because you did it without thinking. You don't remember seeing a baggage terminal? That's because the carousel is not one in the airport, it's one in our minds. It's one in our hearts. The bags we made carry are not made of leather, they're made of burdens, a suitcase of guilt, a sack of discontent. You drape a duffel bag of weariness over your shoulder and hang on to a bag of grief in another. And you add on a backpack of doubt, an ongoing, ever-increasing bag of loneliness, and a trunk full of fear. And pretty soon you're carrying more luggage than you can handle. And no wonder you're so tired at the end of the day, because you're carrying all that baggage and it's absolutely exhausting. Are you perhaps carrying some emotional baggage today in the form of unresolved issues, in the form of things that happened in the past? The truth of the matter is, though, is as long as you carry that, it can render you ineffective at best and in absolute depression at worst. And it has a severe impact on your ability to run the race that God's called you to. Because each and every one in here is called of God to a specific purpose. And the enemy will do whatever he can to stop you from that purpose. And he will throw baggage on and you will do all. See, there are three ways that you might have ended up with this baggage. It could be packed by your life experiences. Things that you've gone through that perhaps nobody even knows about and you wish that they didn't. Maybe it's by the enemy of your soul who has sown things into your life and lies about who you are, lies about God and his goodness. Or perhaps it's by your own poor reactions and your poor decisions. And because we tend to carry these bags, whatever our situation, whatever our age, at different times, some more, some less, we often see that we act in extremes to try and compensate for the bags. We will overreact. Perhaps you know somebody like this, that you say something and way out of proportion of what you just said to them. That never happens in our home, and if it does, it's usually me. Or maybe there's overworking or overpleasing. There's some there on this thing, if you can find them. Over-controlling, to control your life and to control others around you. Then other people throw off all controls. Other people will not allow anybody to control them, so they try and control everybody else. They overcompensate. Perhaps they're over-defensive. Don't nudge your wife right now. Not a good time. And so we act in these extremes. Sometimes overworks, other times we go to the extreme of laziness, and we all these reactions to the situations of life that have come upon us, and we're carrying them. And then there's extreme cases in how we deal with others, primarily because of the baggage that we carry. We go into where people have engaged in verbal and mental and emotional abuse of others that has little to do with the person they're doing it to, but has a lot more to do with the baggage that they're carrying in life. Doesn't excuse it, but it sometimes is the cause of it. And let me just say this, if you are one who, I'll speak straight, if you're one who engages in this kind of behavior of verbally and mentally and physically abusing others, that it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, if you're in that place, can I encourage you, strongly recommend to you, challenge you, do whatever I have to before God to get whatever help you need. If you have to remove yourself out of a situation because you can't control yourself, you need to do that immediately. Don't wait another day. Don't let anybody else pay the price because of your baggage. I'm just going in. It's all right. You know, in some places, I taught, we in our congregation, we have multiple cultures and ethnicities and all kinds of stuff. And some come from a cultural background where it's acceptable to beat your wife. And we tell them, and maybe even in here, some of us have that mindset because of the baggage that we carry. It's not acceptable. It's not a God thing in any way, shape, or form. But the good thing is, and we're going to get into that, you can be free of it. You can be free of it. God can help you. And if you're in that situation as well, where you're the one on the recipient end of it, talk to your pastor, talk to the police, do whatever you can. It's not right in any way, shape, or form. So we'll go on from here, but we just had to say something. See, there's all kinds of baggage and we react in all kinds of ways. But I've noticed this in life, that we notice other people's baggage way sooner than ours. I mean, I can pick out somebody, this guy, whoa, they got some, And you can probably do the same for me. But our eyes are wide open to other people's stuff. We've got it, I can peg it, I'll give you a list of this person and that person. But mine, I think I'm good. That tends to be our tendency. And it affects our life in insidious ways. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 22. You want to put that up there. This is about the story of Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. He was the Israelites had these judges who were not always faithful to the Lord, were not always doing what God had called them to do. And they said, we need a king. And so God said, I'll give you a king, and his name is Saul. God picked him out and said, we're going to anoint this man as king. And this is where we find the place. They're getting ready to anoint him. And it says, the family of Matri took its place in the lineup, and the name Saul, son of Kish, was picked. But when they went looking for him, everyone say that highlighted place for me, he was nowhere to be found. Samuel went back to God. Is he anywhere around? God said, yes, he's right over there, hidden in that pile of baggage. Next screen. Do we have a next screen? Or not? That's all right. Then they ran. Oh, there it is. They ran and got him. He took his place before everyone, standing tall, head and shoulders above them. Samuel then addressed the people. Take a good look at whom God has chosen, the best. No one like him in the whole country. Then a great shout went up from the people. Long live the king. See, perhaps Saul was worried or concerned that he would not be able to do what God had called him to do. Perhaps he saw, there's too much that's gone on in my life for me to step into the place of the kingship, the place of destiny, the place that God has called me to. Perhaps there's, I just cannot do that thing and serve God in that way. Perhaps there's, if people really knew, because everybody looked at him and said, he's tall, he's handsome, he's the man. But obviously inward, somewhere, Saul struggled a little bit. And it says that he was, where is he? And I think that call goes out sometimes and people say, where are you? And we're hidden in a pile of baggage. I'm sure many of us are like Saul. We see and hear that God has called us to great things, that He has a plan for our life, that there's a destiny, that there's a hope. And when we first get saved, yeah, there is. And then over time, somehow it begins to, through the experiences of life, we take this bag and that bag and the other one. And we don't know if we can ever be free of the rejection or fear, free of the fear or free of the whatever your bag is. So instead of our destiny, instead of our calling, instead of making a difference in the world, we find ourselves hidden among the baggage of life, the experiences, the pain, the hurt, instead of stepping into what God has called us. Now, there's four ways that you can face your baggage if you want to write these down. See, there are people who just ignore what's going on. There are people who ignore it and pretend that it's not there. But I've learned this in life. When you pretend that something's not there, it's still there. I would love to pretend that I had all the hair on the top of my head. But I look in the mirror and it's confirmed every day. It's not there. And it's ever increasing like the kingdom of God, always growing. Can I have my water, please? Then there are those who are gripped by the awareness that something is really wrong, and they know that something's really wrong, but they don't really know what to do or how to deal with it or move forward in it. Then there are those who deal with whatever they can handle, and they ignore the rest. So they guess, this little bit, I can handle that. And then there's finally those that courageously face all that's in their bag, and I believe that that's what God wants for each of us. Let's look at this passage and see how to deal with our baggage. See, others ran to Him and called Him out of the baggage. And each and every one of us need people in our life that will come to us and say, hey, you, God has called you to something great. You need to step out of that. We're going to walk with you. Yes, that's gone on and this has gone on, but with the help of God and with the help of relationship, we're going to see you step into what God has called you. And to not look forward in my life, or not look in my life and say, there is no possibility of moving forward because of what's gone in my life. But we need people, and maybe it's even me this morning, that says, come out of the baggage of what's happened in your life. Come out of the experiences that have hurt you. Come out of the experiences that have bogged you down. Come out of the things that stop you and say, come out of the baggage of life. The Holy Spirit could be doing it to a number on you as you read the Word of God. There is more for your life than you currently experience. There is more than God that God has for you. You are needed in the kingdom of God. It takes courage. Most of us don't want to look inside of our bags. We certainly don't want somebody else to see. But if you're going to look at your bag in the presence of others, you need to acknowledge that you have baggage. Because you can never change what you refuse to acknowledge. You can never change what you refuse to acknowledge, what you're packing. And we need to get to the place where we can stop pretending that we're okay. Stop blaming other people for the state of my life. Stop justifying my negative behavior. Because you cannot change what happened. You can only choose how you react to it. You know, I had a... anybody remember Raggedy Andy? Okay, I had Raggedy Andy, not Raggedy Ann. Are we clear on that? There was no Raggedy Ann. But I had Raggedy Andy. He had red hair, wool hair, little button eyes, freckles on his face, and I carried him everywhere. When he got dirty, he got thrown into the wash and he came out all, his hair was a little frizzy if he went in the dryer. But I carried him around everywhere and I loved little Raggedy Andy. But there came a time in my life that I was looking for Raggedy Andy, and he was nowhere to be found. And it really bothered me as a little child for a little while, that where is he? And I had to face the fact, even as a young child, that Andy was never coming back. Just have a moment for me right there. But in a very simple way, I draw that analogy because some of us are still looking for our Raggedy Andy of life, the thing that we've lost. And some of us have to face the fact that it's never coming back. You see, someone may have hurt you and molested you, and it's a tragedy beyond tragedy. It's painful beyond words, but you can't change what happened to you. You may have lost the marriage that you thought was going to be there for the rest of your life, and it may have blown up in a way that you never thought was possible, but we have to face the fact that it's never coming back. You might have said something you shouldn't have said, did something you shouldn't have done. You can't change it, but I'm telling you, with the help of Jesus, it does not have to define our life. It does not have to determine our existence. We can move forward in faith in God. Because every one of us has a past, but everyone, if we follow Jesus, has an absolutely bright future. Whatever you need today, whatever the loss in your life, whatever the failures, we need to let them go. Sing with Elsa. Let it go. You have to give your bags to Jesus. See, the Bible says, Jesus said, and I love this about God, He's willing to carry your bags. You don't have to carry them. Isn't that wonderful? God is willing to carry your baggage. One of the greatest things about the God of the Bible is He commands us to let Him work before He ever asks you to work. He said, what does He say? He said, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden and have lots of baggage, and I will give you rest. I give you rest that is impossible for you. Cast your burden, cast your baggage on the Lord, and He will sustain you, Psalm 55 says. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated His love towards us and died for us. God doesn't say, get rid of your baggage and then I'll clean you up. He says, come to me with your baggage. I'll help you with your baggage. Whether you just knew me or you just know me for a long, long time. But some of us have the baggage of what others have done to us. But we have to let it go. You see, the Bible talks about casting it onto Him. And we actually have to do that. Lord, I release this baggage to You. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But I release this situation. I release this person. I release this pain to You. Someone once said, when pain comes into your life, you have to decide what you're going to do with it. But if you want to be free from it, don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. And don't curse it. Because God, the God of the Bible, when you serve Him, He can take the most painful thing, the most difficult thing, the thing that threatened to knock you out, God can turn it around in a moment as you acknowledge it and give it to Him. Acknowledge the pain, though. We need to acknowledge the pain. The anger, the fear, the frustration, whatever it might be, and say, Lord, I need Your help. Forgive. Who needs to be forgiven? Release who needs to be released. Bitterness destroys not the other person. It destroys me. It destroys you. Some of us would like to go in a bargain with God. Well, God, I will do this if I'll forgive, I'll release. If You like really make that person's life miserable, I will say, Lord, I forgive them. It's not the way of the Lord. God says, just let me. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Don't worry about that. You just forgive and walk free. And let me take care of that person. Because I love them even when you don't right now. And I'm going to do a work in your heart. It's okay. Some of you have experienced extreme trauma. And it's not just easy just to forget it, like I've just said. And I don't want to minimize that even for a moment. Some of you may need to see a pastor, see a counselor, see somebody to help walk you through the pain of that trauma. But whatever it is, we serve a God who can set you free. Who can absolutely open up new doors for your life that you never thought were possible. But it will never happen as long as you hang on to the bag. We face our bags. Things done to us. And then these are the ones that I find are often harder, though, is things that we've done. We can forgive others somehow, but many of us have difficulty forgiving ourselves. For the pain that maybe we've caused other people, or the way that we haven't walked with the Lord in the way we knew we should. Where we struggle with things on the inside that nobody's even aware of. But those are dealt with the same way. See, the Bible says in Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation to those that are in Jesus. No shame. As we release things to the Lord, He doesn't hold it over us and put us in the penalty box for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes until we're good again. In fact, in Hebrews it says to come boldly before the throne of grace. to come boldly before the throne of grace, where we will find help, we'll find grace for our time of need. And when do we have the greatest need? It's when we're the biggest screw up. Jesus has grace for you. Give yourself some grace. Give yourself some space to not do it right. Let it go. Cast all my cares on Jesus. Let go of the bag. Let go of the baggage. Because, you know, Jesus, it's a very simple, the ones that we do. We repent, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Renounce any involvement with that. And then if God directs, make restitution where we've hurt someone. It's not just let it go without, no, we've got to deal with the things. But God wants us to be free of our baggage. And let me show you why. In the next little bit here, stepping out of your baggage, what does that look like? I love this. It says this about Saul, that he, after he's called out of the baggage, he took his place. See, the baggage was not his place. The baggage is not your place. But there is a place that God has designed, called, and destined for you. And it's found in the kingdom of God. It's found in the family of God. It's found in the church where we work together to serve God. See, every one of you, your significance, our purpose, our meaning is found in Jesus. Not in our work, not in our performance, not in all the things that we do to try to impress ourselves, impress others. But our significance is found in the place that God has for you. Because when you step out of the baggage and into your place, everything begins to change. Everything begins to have on a new place. In 1 Corinthians 12 even says that we are a body, and the body works best when each person is in the place that God has designed for them. This church will only function at the level that God has called it to when you step out of your baggage and begin to step into what God has called for your life. There's destiny and there's purpose in you, and the purpose in you is not the bags. Let it go. And I love this next one. It says that he stood tall. When we think of someone standing tall, what is that? It speaks to confidence. It speaks to a place of, God has called me, He's put me in this place, I'm free of all this shame, I'm free of all that stuff, and I begin to stand tall. Because God's taken care of the baggage of my life, He's taken care and is working in me to will and to do according to His good pleasure. He's doing what He wants to do, and I can hold my head because God believes in me. He has a place for me, He has a destiny and a call over my life and each one of us. Amen. We stood tall. And then look at this, it says, do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There's no one like him. And that's how God looks at you this morning. He says, there's no one like you. There's no one like who you are, and with your quirks of your personality and the things that you are and the experiences of your life. There is no one like you. And God wants to use you in a way that God can use nobody else. You could have been born at any other time in history. You could have been at any other place, but God chose here in the Comox Valley. God chose now. God chose this house because He has a plan and a place to use you, because you're significant in what God wants to do. You are not an add-on. You are not like the appendix of the body. You are not like that, where we think, like, what is really the purpose of that? You have a place of significant value and worth as a son and a daughter of God. And when you trust and allow God to call you out of your baggage, you display the very wisdom of God. You can come, Karen. You display the power of God. You display His glory and His goodness in a way that the world needs to see. Because all around us, there's people that walk struggling with all kinds of issues. And when we begin to walk free by the power of Jesus, because it's always only ever about Jesus, not by our self-help books, not by our saying some incantations and doing those kind of things. Jesus sets people free today. It's the same Jesus. It says right over here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the God who set people free thousands of years ago. He's still doing it today. He's doing it. He wants to do it more in the Comox Valley. He wants to do it more in your life to set you free into another level of freedom, so that you can not just be free, because God has always done things in your life so that you can be used of Him to set others free. He wants to call you out of a place of insignificance into the place that He has designed for you from before the foundation of the world. You are needed. You are needed in the house. You are needed in the kingdom. You are needed in the community. And God has called you out of the place of the bags. And finally, I love this where it says that Saul, it says some supported Saul and others mocked him. Others looked at him and said, who is this guy? And that might happen to you. Where people look at, who does she think she is doing that? Who does he, what? But it says this, it says, Saul kept his peace. In other words, he said, my place is not determined by what other, by haters. My place is not determined by other people, whether they affirm me or not. My place is determined by the Jesus who took care of my bags and called me out of darkness into his marvelous light, who called me out of purposelessness into purpose, who called me out of hopelessness into hope, who called me out of brokenness into bringing me into a place of significance. And I'm settled in that. Because it's not by my might, it's not by my power, it is by the Spirit of the Lord who sets me free in every way. So that I can be the husband that I'm called to be. So I can be the spouse that I'm called to be. So I can be the parent. So I can be in the workplace and be who God's called me to be. Out of the bags, into a place of just being settled. I find peace and I live in peace and I live in a confidence. Where I'm not shaken by the criticisms of the few or the accolades of many. I've just settled that I have a place. God's called me. He's affirmed me. Whatever caused your bags to be packed, you don't have to carry them one more day. You don't have to carry them one more minute. Very, very simple. See, cast all my burdens on the Lord. I'm going to deal with my bags because I want to be all that God's called me to be. Because there's a world that desperately needs me to be. There's a family that desperately needs me to be all that God has called me to be. And I don't need to carry those bags anymore. Can I invite you to stand real quick? I'm a big believer in responding to the word of the Lord. You see, your baggage, my baggage is not me. I'm who God has called me to be. I am not my baggage. I am not my failure. I am not my whatever it is. I'm who God has called me to be. I believe in responding to the word of the Lord, which is simply giving your yes to what Jesus is saying to you this morning. I invite you just to bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment, and give privacy to the people around you. This is for nothing spooky, nothing scary, just to give privacy to the people around you as you respond. And maybe as I've talked, you recognize that there's some baggage that you need to let go of. Maybe it's some unforgiveness. Maybe it's some shame that you felt over things that you've done. Whatever it might be, I'm going to let God deal with that. But I know that God is speaking to many, many people in this room. And if you're in a place where with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, where you say, God, I need to deal with some baggage, just raise your hand real quick. Keep it up for a moment. Yeah, all over the room. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can put it down. I just want to give you a couple of moments here just to do business with Jesus. And it's simply this. Cast all your cares on Jesus. Cast that burden on the Lord. If there's a forgiveness that needs to be released, just do it right now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. If there's some bitterness that needs to be released, whatever it would be, just take that moment with the Lord right now. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you, Jesus. Thank you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you that there is no condemnation in Jesus. Thank you that you're making all things new, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you're making all things new, Lord Jesus. Thank you that Jesus came to set at liberty those oppressed of the devil. Thank you, forgiveness freely flowing. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we thank you for the presence of Jesus. Thank you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you that Jesus sets captives free, that Jesus does what we, in a moment what we've struggled with and held with all our life. And Lord, as people right now release things to Jesus, Lord, thank you for burdens being broken, Lord. Thank you for demonic influences being cut right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for even generational things that they said, this is just the way our family is. We break that in the name of Jesus. And we say, you are of a new bloodline, of the bloodline of Jesus, that there is a hope for you, but nobody else, because of Jesus. You are more than your past. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare freedom. Lord, thank you that his baggage is being let go of, Lord Jesus, right now. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing a work in the spiritual realm. That's more than we can think. It's more than we can imagine. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you as people do the spiritual step, Lord, that as they go with people who will call them out of their baggage, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you will help us walk that out in the name of Jesus. Thank you that they're part of a great church, Lord, part of a great family that will help them to step into all that you have called them to do and be. Lord, we bless this house in Jesus' name. Lord, we bless it physically. We bless it emotionally. We bless it financially, Lord, in every way. May the blessing of God overtake this house. Lord, thank you for people coming to Jesus, not by the ones and twos, but by the tens and twenties, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a flow of the Spirit of God that will surprise even many that are here right now, Lord. The way that you move and are moving in Jesus' name. I bless what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.